Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Noura. Okay, so this next one properly surprised me. RLWRLD just released RLDX1, and it is not another vision language model with a robot arm bolted on. This is a foundation model built from the ground up for five-finger manipulation, motion tracking, force sensing, memory, spatial reasoning, all baked into the architecture from day one. The difference? A robot using RLDX1 can grasp a coffee pot and pour it without spilling as the weight shifts. It can pick a moving object off a conveyor belt. It can retrain itself mid-deployment with just a handful of corrections. This is the gap between a model that can push something and a model that understands contact. That second thing, that is what changes the kinds of tasks robots can actually do in the real world. Think about that for a second. Most robots today treat hands like grippers. RLDX1 treats them like hands. And when you do that, the entire task space opens up. The takeaway? Dexterity is not a feature you add later. It is a foundation you build on. And RLURLD just laid that foundation. Worth thinking about for anyone working in automation, because the robots that can do contact-rich tasks are the ones that are going to matter. Right. Completely different corner of the tech world now. But stay with me. Thinking Machines released their interaction models this week. TML Interaction Small. And this is where things get interesting. Most voice AI today is a language model with voice tacked on. You speak, it transcribes, it thinks, it speaks back. There is always a gap, always a turn-taking rhythm that feels slightly off. Thinking Machines trained their model from scratch for continuous full duplex conversation. Audio, video, and text, all processed simultaneously. No transcription step, no thinking pause, just 200 millisecond response intervals that feel like, well, like someone is actually in the room with you. The demos are wild. The model counts your push-ups in real time. It interrupts you mid-sentence naturally. It speaks while listening. And it does all of this without the robotic rhythm that gives away most voice AI. Here is the bit that really matters. It beats GPT-4o real-time and Gemini 3.1 on interaction benchmarks. But the benchmarks are not the point. The point is that models trained this way feel fundamentally different. They do not feel like you are talking to a chatbot. They feel like you are talking to someone. And that is a threshold. Once you cross it, you cannot go back. Bottom line, voice AI just stopped being a novelty and started being infrastructure. The kind of infrastructure people forget is even there because it just works. Now, this one is less flashy, but honestly more important in the long run. EPFL researchers developed a framework that converts human demonstrated tasks into general movement strategies. Then it automatically adapts those strategies for robots with completely different physical designs. Three different commercial robots, different arms, different joints, different sizes, all successfully performed the same assembly task. No reprogramming, no manual tuning, just the framework doing the translation work. This is the robotics equivalent of cross-platform code. You write it once, it runs everywhere. What this really means is that the cost of teaching robots new skills just dropped, significantly, because you are no longer teaching each robot individually. You are teaching the task itself, and the system handles the rest. Think about what that means for warehouses, factories, or anywhere you have multiple robot types doing similar work. You train the task once, every robot learns it. The takeaway? The barrier between human demonstration and robot execution is shrinking fast, and when that barrier gets low enough, the adoption curve gets steep. Okay, so this next one is, honestly, it is a bit wild. Someone used a Unitree G1 humanoid robot to provide haptic feedback for a VR driving simulator. The robot grabs the player's chair and moves it in sync with the game. Acceleration, braking, turns, all translated into real physical force. No custom hardware, no modifications, just a general-purpose humanoid robot being repurposed as a flexible haptic device. Now, I know what you are thinking. This is a demo, a fun hack. And yes, absolutely. But here is why it matters. General-purpose robots are general-purpose. Once they are good enough at manipulation, they can be anything. A moving platform, a haptic interface, a mobile assistant, whatever the task needs. This is the first time I have seen someone use a humanoid robot as a device rather than as a robot. And that shift in thinking, that is where the real applications are going to come from. Worth having a conversation about with your team this week. Because the robots we think of as assistants might end up being infrastructure. Right, let me lighten things up a bit. TanStack packages were compromised in the NPM registry this week. Not a vulnerability in the code itself, an actual supply chain attack. Someone got access to the publishing credentials and pushed malicious versions of widely used React libraries. The post-mortem is detailed. Attack vectors, detection, response, prevention, all the things you would want to know if you are running a production environment that depends on third-party packages. Here is the thing. Supply chain attacks are not theoretical anymore. They are not rare edge cases. They are a regular part of the threat landscape. And if you are pulling in dependencies from NPM, PyPI, or any other public registry, you need a strategy for this. The takeaway, if you are building on someone else's packages, you are building on someone else's security posture. Plan accordingly. Ask yourself, would your deployment pipeline catch this? Would your monitoring notice? Would your rollback process work? If the answer to any of those is no, this is the week to fix it. And that is your Luma Digest. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes.